Well, once again, let me warmly welcome you and say a real privilege to be back. And if you're just back from holiday yourself, a very warm welcome back. I hope you've had a great time as well. We went to visit my family in the States, and I had a chance to see my little baby niece for the first time. My sister lives out there, and that was really, really special for Lila and Amy to meet their cousins. And we also had a chance to watch a bit of the Olympics, although I would say it was the U.S. athletes that we saw, rather than the... they didn't show any cycling at all in America, and hardly any rowing, I think a few swimming. Yeah, they had a swimmer, someone was doing rather well, so they showed a fair bit of that, but it was a lot of fun to be out there, and it's really special though to be back, and a great joy to see everyone again. We were away just we left just at the time where we'd met as a selection panel for some the new time team, and I just wanted to wait and share that when I got back about who was on the new time team, and also some work was being done while I was away. And we had a great selection panel meeting and had shared that with the leadership and weighed that and prayed that through together. And these are the folks you may have heard already, but these are the ones who have are going to be on the next time team, and so I'd really love you to pray for them and to encourage them. It doesn't start till October, but these guys prepare. Have them in your prayers. Ben Lawrence and Johnny Holman and Matt and Charlotte Lovell are all going to be on the next time team. So I'm very excited about that, and it was an amazing meeting we had. And as you're probably aware, just as I read out those names, there are couples in that group, and so we've really felt as we were praying about it that it was right for them not to all live in community in 18 Common Avenue, but rather that we would rent out 18 Common Avenue, the church house, to support and facilitate these couples being able to live in their own homes and things like that. So of course you know that many are aware we've got Sean Avard now going to be on staff from mid-September, and Sean used to be an estate agent, so he says it's a great market for renting things out, and he's checked it all and feels confident we're going to do it. Isn't that amazing how God works these things out? So we're really thrilled the way that's developing, but do pray for these folks, and in the beginning of October when it all starts, we'll have them up at the front and have a chance to pray for them there. Do remember Chris as well, as he keeps helping that come through to fruition and helps lead that team on into the year ahead as well. Well, we're going to have the great opportunity now to pick up God's Word, to study it, to look at it together. And it will really help you if you have a Bible in front of you. If you don't have one with you, don't worry at all. You can just raise a hand and someone will bring one to you. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 1. We've been doing a series over the summer months. I kicked it off in the beginning of August. And we're now looking on our last Psalm of the series. Psalms are like the songbooks, Jesus' songbook. You know, we have... In church life, we have now songs on a PowerPoint, but they used to come in kind of a hymn book, and some of you remember that. And this is like Jesus, if you like, hymn book, and we are ending at the beginning. We're ending with the book of Psalms, chapter 1, Psalm 1. And like I say, if you don't have a Bible, do grab one. It's page number 543, I think. Page 543. So let me read this together. And isn't it great to be gathering together, worshiping God? I've been so amazed just watching the service so far and taking part and just realizing what an international feel. What an international congregation. We've had people from Mexico and from South Africa and from sort of origins in Nigeria and Egypt and all these kind of places. And yet God has brought us together to seek Him this morning. And whatever nationality you're from, whatever background you're from, you're welcome this morning. Whatever's happened in your past, you're welcome. We've come to seek God and to know, as we read His Word, how we can live for Him. And this psalm is going to help us. So let's read it together. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. That's an amazing sentence. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray together as we come to God's word. Almighty Father, we come to your word this morning asking that you would help us understand it, but more than that, by your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our own lives, I pray. God, may we walk the way of the righteous. Lord, may we as your people be oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of your splendor. But Lord, where as well each one of us have not walked your way, but walked our own way or walked away from you, God, forgive us even now as we start. We thank you for your grace displayed in Jesus Christ, and we ask for his help then as we come to your word right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, early on at the beginning of this week, as we were coming back, all the talk was about London 2012. That seems like ages ago, Bank Holiday Monday, but maybe you can remember that as well. And they just had the Beijing closing ceremony for the Olympics. We enjoyed just catching a bit of that, and it was amazing. Beijing did an incredible thing. We got a picture here, very kind of Chinese in style. And you probably have realized that in these opening and closing ceremonies, there's a lot of influence that comes from the country and the culture to how that takes shape. And there was some discussion about whether London 2012 would be similar or a bit different. What do you think? I think a bit different. Why? Well, because Britain has had different cultural influences, different things that have affected and shaped us over the years than has China. And so different influences lead to what? Different outcomes. And something like an opening games of or an opening ceremony or a closing ceremony, you could have multiple kind of influences and multiple outcomes. In fact, there's no limit to the number of influences and no limit to the number of outcomes you could have for something like that. But there are some things in life that only have two outcomes. Some things in life where it's either this or that. Some things in life where there are only two ways. And again, the Olympics actually helps us here. You might realize, and particularly if you've ever watched the 4x100 meters, which is renowned for this, that really in any Olympic race, there are two ways of competing. You can compete according to the rules and qualify or get a result, or you can break the rules and be disqualified. And it kind of comes up right at the end of that listing with a little kind of disqualified bit. And in the 4x100 meters, this is really kind of showed out, because there are simple rules. You know, you've got to pass over the baton. Kids do it in school, and you've got to stay within the box of the changeover period. But for some reason, these great Olympic athletes have this wonderful habit, particularly folks in America, we noticed as we were watching it, have this wonderful habit of dropping the baton. Here we go. And these guys are fast. There they go. But they just can't do the very thing. Surely you'd think it's not that difficult. I think the English messed up on this an occasion or two as well. But you think, God, get it right. Don't step out the box. Don't drop the baton. Because if you do, you break the rules. You get disqualified. And the others, they're the happy ones. The ones that stay within the rules. The ones that get to finish the race. And so too in our psalm here, we have two ways. Two ways to live your life. And they're demonstrated up for us really clearly in the last verse in verse 6. There's the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. The way of the righteous I like to call the happy way. Because as we'll see in this psalm, it starts, blessed is the man. Blessed means happy. Happy is the way of the righteous. That's the happy way. But there's another way, the way of the wicked. And that, as we're going to see, is the futile way. That's the way of those ones, like in the races, who step out of the rules, that don't keep in the bounds, and they're the ones where they suddenly realize this wasn't worth it. This has messed this up. That's not the happy way. Our world, our culture would love to say the wicked way is the happy way. The enemy would love us to think that. No, that's the futile way. The way of the righteous is the happy way. And this morning, as we look in this psalm, I want us to have those two ways before our minds. And rather than go first looking at the way of the righteous and then the way of the wicked, I want us to take them, as it were, simultaneously and see two things about these two ways. I want us to see, firstly, that there are two different influences. Two different influences, and then later on, we're going to see, like with the Olympic Games, there are two different outcomes, like we saw right at the start. Different influences lead to different outcomes. But firstly, look with me at Psalm 1 and see that these two ways come about because of two different influences on our lives. Look with me at verse 1 and 2 where it says this: "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way, in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." All of us are influenced by things and people around us. All of us, every single one of us here, is influenced in some way. You can ask questions, even in your own life or my life. We can ask questions to discover and discern what are some of the influences over us. Things like, who do you spend most of your time with? Maybe just pause for a moment and think about that. Who do you spend most of your time with? Or ask this question: whose opinion matters most to you? Whose opinion matters most to you? You could ask a question like this: what do you read? Or what do you watch? And I probably should put a little caveat here. Not what would you like to think you read and what would you like to think you watch, but what in reality do I read and you read? Do I watch and you watch? For it is those things that will influence us. What is influencing your life at the moment? You know, you and I choose the influences on our lives. Whether we do that passively by just letting it happen, or whether we actively choose them, you and I choose the influences on our lives, and the outcome of that choice, as we're going to see, is hugely important. Hugely significant. But we have the responsibility, we have the choice to choose those influences, and particularly at the beginning of things, it's significant. You know, we've called this the song of new beginnings, the song for new beginnings, and we're almost at the beginning of a new term. And for students, and for those in school, or those changing school, the influences you choose, the friends you choose, the things you choose to do, and the places you choose to go, at the beginning of a new job, or a new time at school, those are hugely significant. Hugely significant. And if you've got children or grandchildren or nephews and nieces that are just about to start a new school or college, pray for them. Pray for those who are coming to our town in these next few weeks to start a university. Pray for them that they would choose good influences over their lives, wise beginnings. Keep praying for James and Asher, broad to be dedicated, young in life, at the beginning of their lives. The influences on their lives will make a huge difference in the days ahead. Andrew and Glenda and Rachel and Ricardo have said that they want and pray and ask for God's help to be good influences. But you know what? Church, we have a responsibility too for those two boys. In fact, for all the children growing up within our church, and I'll tell you what, often, scarily often, sometimes church is not a good influence on the children of the church to encourage them to have faith. That should sober us all up. But I pray along that we will be such a church that does have a good influence. And one of the main key things, I think, in that us having that good influence is that we are people of love and grace. We are people who together, whatever stage James or Asher go through in life or in, as their kids or teenagers, that they know that as a church we will love them and pray for them and show grace to them. And that we will then in that model Christ-likeness, not pretense, but Christ-likeness to those our children. Do I have an amen that we want to do that? Amen? Yeah? Let's model Christ-likeness to our children, because that will influence how they turn out, what decisions they make. So, let's look at this passage, the influences, the two different influences there can be. Let's dive straight in. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or sit or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Right at the beginning of this psalm, at the beginning, it lays out these paths for us. And it, as it were, this is like the psalm introduction saying, look, you could have choices of what you do in your life, but here's a great choice. Rather than run off and or do things with the wicked, come and take counsel from this book. It's like Psalm's own little commending itself. You know, sometimes at the beginning of your books you have, you know, references, so-and-so says this is a great book to read. Well, the Psalms are here saying, spend time looking at this. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Just pause there and notice something with me. Do you see a bit of a progression there? Walk, stand, sit. Do you notice that? There's sometimes we can be in situations where actually we're traveling, doing what others are doing, kind of caught along by the crowd, but we just happen to be passing. There's other times where we stop and watch, or we're in the way of it, and we're just hoping maybe something will happen. And there's other times where we're actively sitting down, as it were, partaking. Kind of saying, right, we're going to soak this up. And it's amazing what you and I sometimes sit down and soak up in our own front rooms. Things that happen on our TV screens, things that we listen to, that if we were actually in those places, we'd probably get up and move. That's sometimes a great check of what you're watching and what you're listening to. You think, if this was reality, if this was really happening, would I really sit here? Isn't that a great check? But you and I will be being influenced by all those things that we see, read, hear, and watch. And by those around you, the company we keep. We've got a verse here up on the screen. This is a really verse that kind of hits you right between the eyes. It says this, do not be misled. That's always a good way to start. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And you might think, wow, no, I'm such a great person that if I go and spend time with all those bad people and those people who are, you know, have not got great character, I'll be the one that influences them and changes them. Does that what it says? Does it say, do not be misled, good company corrects bad character? No, it doesn't say that. Do not be misled, bad company corrupts good character. And that's why Jesus so often, when he sent people out, he'd send them out what? Two by two, because we need each other. That's one of the reasons we gather together in small groups or come here on a Sunday, is because you and I, we need one another. We need to be encouraged to live life for him. We influence one another for him. And so, what do we do then? What do we do if we're not to be just soaking up the waves of the world around us? Well, we need to do this. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. The blessed man, the happy man, is not the one who does those things in verse 1. He's the one whose delight is in the law. He's the one who on his law meditates day and night. It's a contrast here he set up between verse 1 and verse 2. And the psalmist is saying that the blessed man, the happy one, is the one who takes this book. For the guy who was writing the Psalms, it was the Old Testament at that time. For us, it's the whole Bible, the one who takes God's word and delights in it. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that if I'm going to delight in something or enjoy something, I need to be spending enough time that I can pick it up and, as it were, kind of just take note of it in some way. So imagine, imagine this glass was a diamond and I could walk past it like that really fast, maybe take a glance. I'm not really going to delight in it. But if I found this precious jewel and I picked it up and I went, wow, check the way the light catches that. Isn't that beautiful? That would be a big diamond, by the way. You'd all want it. We'd have visitors if it was this big. But you know, you pick it up. You turn it around. You study it. You take time. You don't have to spend a lot of time. I've found in things that sometimes all it takes is just a few moments to sort of enjoy the clouds or the mountains or the down. You just have to pause for that moment to take it in and look at it and think about it and pause and think, yeah, that's special. But it's the same with God's word. To delight in it, I find I need to pick it up. It's hard to really do that if I'm not picking up in my mind or in my heart or in my hand, and I'm picking up and I'm thinking about it. I bring it to the front of my mind and I think, wow, that's special, that's cool, that's neat. And when I do that, and I let my heart be affected, let my heart be affected by just words that I might even be familiar with, like, Jesus died for me, or that I can be forgiven, or that because of Jesus I'm going to heaven. And I let simple phrases and words like that allow them to touch my heart. Then I delight in it again, and something changes within me. And so I encourage you, pick up the Bible again. Let it tomorrow and this afternoon delight your heart again, because this book and the joys that this book leads will be one of the things that keeps you from the lies of the enemy, that the way of the wicked is a happy way. When you come and spend time with the Lord, and on Wednesday night, some of us just gathered, and some of the people were just saying, I think it was one of our older ladies just was praying and saying what a joy it was to spend time with Jesus. And I tell you what, you should have seen the kind of expression and heard the sound on her face as she just talked about the joy of being with the Lord and spending time with Him in His presence. That's where there's joy. And so the psalmist goes on and says, but his delight is in the law of his Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. It has this sense that there's bits of it that he's taking and really grasping and chewing over. And you know, it's okay to have favorite bits of the Bible. Who here has got some favorite passages of the Bible? You know? Yeah, pretty much everyone. You know, I think Jesus had favorite passages of the Bible. In fact, I'm sure he was. There were times when bits of the Bible were going round and round in his head. And it wasn't necessarily Leviticus 32:17 or whatever. There isn't a Leviticus 32. But you know what I mean? There are bits of the Bible that are going to be more precious to us than others. And that's great. Make the most of it. Go back. Let those bits that delight you again. And then go find more. Because there are more. You know, the Bible is has been described as like an ocean. You know, you walk out the door here and you look down the road, and there's an ocean there. And on a day like yesterday, people will love it. You know why they love it? Because some people can just admire the expanse. Other people can paddle. Little children love to just paddle in the sea. And they get a genuine experience of the ocean. And then the kind of people who love diving, fishing, or deep sea diving, they can go and enjoy it and delve the depths. And you know what the thing is about the ocean? The people who are delving the depths, they never get to the full bottom of every part of the sea. It's just so vast, so big. But they can't turn around to the little child on the shore and say, well, you can't enjoy this, you haven't been to the depths. No, because the child is also able to enjoy splashing around in the shore. And the same is true of this wonderful book. It's shallow enough so that you can come and just splash. Even if you're just new to the things of God, you can come and pick it up and taste it and delight in it. But yet if you're here and you've been here at this church, except for the last few months while we were at Clarendon, you've been here week by week for about 50 years. Brother and sister, praise the Lord, there's more depths for you to enjoy and delight in and explore. So let us come and take delight in God's word. You know, it says here, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You might think, well, what's that word meditate mean? Is that like that, you know, things we say up in Starbucks for meditation classes at the Buddhist center? Is that what that's about? No, that's not what that's about. It's a different kind of meditation to New Age meditation. In fact, it's the real meaning of meditation. Meditation in those things means to kind of empty your mind, to kind of sit there cross legs staring at a blank wall or something like that, and to try and de-stress and empty your mind. Well, I tell you where you find you get de-stressed is when you meditate on truth. And this is truth. When you come and take God's true word and chew on that in your mind. As it were, allow your mind to be soaked in God's word. That is how you meditate on God's word. Yeah, day and night. Do it at the beginning of the day. Do it at the end of the day. Do it in between. A friend of mine describes it like this. He likes to cook, and when he cooks, he's obviously a better cook than I am, because he marinates his chicken. And the reason why you marinate chicken is you soak it in something so that the juices of those things around get soaked up into the chicken. Well, what are you marinating your mind in? What are you soaking up in your mind? Is it this wonderful book? Well, I pray so, I hope so, because this book will influence you along the happy way, the righteous way. So take time to soak it up. And you might think, well, David, how do I start? I tried that. I read Genesis and I didn't get very far. It's quite complicated in bits, and I was trying to read, you know, big chunks of it at a time, and I didn't find I have time. I tell you what I've discovered. Even just a few minutes is worth it. Just a few minutes to pick it up and to read it. To mark it even. You know, you can mark your Bible. You can just take a pen and say, I like that bit, and underline it or highlight it. And I've also found to learn it. And I've come back from a holiday with a fresh passion about learning Scripture. On Wednesday night, we were all writing down a verse that I've got up here with me in the pulpit. It was such a blessing to me. Isaiah 55:11 says this, so is my word that comes out from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it, God said. So when you get into God's word, it will accomplish what it's meant to do in your heart. And you get it into your head like that in your heart, and you can then enjoy it any time you like. I know, looking around, I just look around, I know many of you here have memorized scriptures over different points in your life. Was it good? Was it worth it? Amen. Can I ask you a question? What are you learning at the moment? What are you learning at the moment? What at the moment are you trying to get into your heart, meditating on, day and night? If you've not got a verse at the moment, why not even take a bit of Psalm 1 or Isaiah 55:11 or our verse for the year again, and just make sure you get it in your heart. Sometimes when I've got a verse like that, or I've got a passage in front of me, I'm just asking a couple of simple questions about it. Here are some of the questions I ask. Here we go. Just these things just help me draw out of a passage some of what's there. What can I learn about God? What can I learn about me? What errors can I avoid? What examples can I follow? Those are some of just four questions that I just easily just think. Any passage of Scripture, there's things about God, there's things about me, there's examples to follow, errors to avoid. And that just might help you unpack and enjoy and delight in God's Word in a fresh way. And so then, take time just to look forward to what God's going to speak to you about tomorrow morning, Monday morning, a new beginning, new week. What influence is going to be on your life? Here's a verse that just might get you excited about. This is Psalm 143:8 says this, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. Do you want tomorrow morning to know that someone loves you deeply and unfailingly? Come to God's word. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Let his word be that guide and influence over your life. So, two different influences. It's what we've spent most of our time on this morning. Two different influences is on your way. And I really pray, brothers and sisters, I look around, I think I know most people here in this room, but I'm really praying at the start of a fresh term that we're going to take this book seriously. That we're going to say, God, this book, we're going to let it influence our way. So that Holland Road has people in it and is a church of oaks of righteousness. Because what we're going to see now is the influence we take and the way we take affects our outcome. And these are the outcomes in the rest of the verse. First, we have pictures and then we have a verdict. Two pictures and then two different verdicts, two different outcomes. Here we go. First picture, he is like a tree. This is the blessed man. This is the way who's going along the way of the righteous. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. This is the outcome of the way of the righteous. You end up like a tree, and you think, oh, great. But trees are wonderful. We don't have many of them around these parts. They've started planting them on my tree, but on my street. But they're not really flourishing. They get all this salty air, and they're not by any streams. But this tree is like a mango tree by a river. We got there, a mango tree by a river, with fruit pouring out of it and roots going down to the stream. It's flourishing, vibrant. And, you know, let's just dig into this little verse for a moment and see, and kind of pick it up like that jewel, pick it up and turn it around and see, is this being a tree thing? Is this going to be good to be like a tree? Well, look at it. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. I like that word, planted. It shows that it's solid and substantial and secure. Hey, will men and women are looking for security in these days? Be planted. Be the righteous way, which yields its fruit in season. It's productive. All of us, somewhere or another, we long to be productive with our lives. Well, the tree here described, the way of the righteous, the outcome of that is to be productive. It yields fruit, but not productive like in a machine way. I mean, I wouldn't want to be a machine. But to be productive in a kind of way which has seasons and rhythm of life. Hey, that would be wonderful. That's what's described here, yielding its fruit in seasons, whose leaf does not wither. You know what that has a picture of, particularly for someone like me who's grown up in Africa, when drought comes. And let's be honest, in all of our lives, things like drought hit us. Times where we get confused or where there doesn't seem to be any rain. Well, what happens when drought comes for this tree? Its leaf does not wither. Always nourished, always strengthened, whatever situation and crisis in your life. And I don't know the situational crises in all of your lives here right now, but what I do know is if you will allow yourselves to be influenced by this word, to go the way of the righteous, you can, even though vitality and life and joy, even in those drought times. And then this amazing verse, just pick this one up, this little line, whatever he does prospers. I looked at that in some other translations and it said, all his ways prosper. So it's right. What it means is whatever he does prosper. How do you make sense of that? Well, sometimes we see it in this life, sometimes we don't, but you can be sure of this. If you go the way of the righteous, your labor is not in vain. It will prosper. We have it clearly in God's word. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It prospers. If you go the way of the righteous, what a wonderful thing to be a tree like that. But then there's a different picture. And the different picture is chaff. And chaff is kind of harder to imagine. You may be less familiar with it. Chaff, in fact, according to Wikipedia and that great online encyclopedia, is the husky bit or the outside of the kernel of wheat or grain that's useless. The bit that gets thrown away or discarded or burnt, you can see it there, but this might even help you a bit more. It's the kind of thing it says in verse 4, look at it with me, not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Like that. Just blown away. Useless. Futile. No roots. No substance. No security. No planting. No fruit. No future. Chaff blown away. It will not stand, it says, in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Verse 5. How different from the tree, the standing tree, that oak of righteousness. And then here are the verdicts. Verse 6, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. The Lord protects the way of the righteous. The Lord saves the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked will perish. It's written for our motivation. It's written to instruct us. It's written to warn us, brothers and sisters, to not go the way of the wicked, but to run to this book. To run to God. Seek to follow that way of the righteous. But you know what I find in my life, and you probably find in your way, in your life? I've got a problem at this point. Because as I look at this psalm, sometimes the influences on my life aren't always good. sometimes my way isn't the way of the righteous. So is my life, is your life, is our lives as sinners before God, is it inevitable that it will just be chaff? Is there hope that your life and my life can be like this tree, this fruitful tree? Well, yes, there is. There is hope because there is one we were singing about earlier who says, I am the way. The way, the righteous way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Isn't that the words of our Savior Jesus, which again, probably many of you have learned, and I encourage you, come back to it now at the end of this service. He is the way. And He is the one that enables us to lead fruitful life, even when at times we think, oh no, I've messed up again, or my life is not going the way I want it to. But you know what? When we come back to Him, He enables our lives to keep bearing fruit by His grace. And He takes our lives and turns us around. But then He says this, come follow me. Come live my righteous way. Leave those influences, those bad company that's corrupting your character, and follow my righteous way that your life can again bear much fruit. Remain in me. And what I'm learning and have learned is that a turning point in any day or in any week or in my life always comes when I say yes to Jesus. You see, basically, the two ways could be summed up like this. The way that's moving towards Jesus, following Him, or the way that somehow turned its back or is ignoring Jesus and is just drifting with the world, or running with the world, or sitting with the world. Because that way is drifting away from Him. And if you want happiness, if you want blessing, if you want life, you need to find those moments, and this could be one of them, where you just turn again and say, yes, Jesus, yes, I want to go your way. And suddenly things start to change in your countenance and your being as He restores you and gives you hope and brings you back. And I don't know, maybe this summertime has even been a time where you've just drifted a little bit. You've not really been going for Jesus. Maybe you've not even been reading His Word. Let me encourage you in a new beginning of a new week. Will you this morning just simply turn in your heart and say, yes, Jesus, I receive your grace. I want to go that way of the righteous, your way. Help me, Lord. Will you do that this morning? And I know what He'll want you to do. He'll want you to start reading this again. He'll want you to get it off the shelf, dust it off your bedside table, and pick it up. And even why not start with the Psalms and read them again and let your heart and your life be full of joy and delight. So I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to pray a prayer that just simply says yes to Jesus. A prayer that says, Jesus, I want your help in reading your word again. And I want to encourage many here, because I know Christians, sometimes, you know, we go stale with the Lord. I want to encourage many here to say, yeah, I want to pray this prayer again. And even if you're a visitor and you're maybe starting out in the things of God, maybe you're grabbed by that alpha, you also just want to pray this simple prayer and say, yeah, Jesus, I want to go on and learn more about you, move towards you. So let's bow our heads now, and as we come to the end of our service, let's do business with God, whatever the summer's been like. Here's a new beginning today. How will you respond? Which way, which influence will it be Jesus? Let's bow our heads. I'm not going to ask for any hand raise. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. This is between you and God, but it's a prayer of commitment to following Him and reading His Word. Jesus, you know my days, you know my past. Jesus, you know where I am with you right now. But Jesus, I want to be closer to you. And so, Jesus, I say yes to you this morning. I say yes to you. I want you. I want to know you more. I want to follow you more closely. I want to read your word and delight in it again. Tell him that in your heart. Tell him you want to delight in him again and read his word and meditate upon it. And so, Jesus, help me in that. Help me even to learn it. Help it to influence me on your righteous way. And thank you, Lord, that whatever the way behind me, because of Jesus, because of you, Lord, I can know the blessed and happy way of righteousness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, please take that seriously. You know, if you don't book it in, you book it out. So book in a little time each day to read God's word. Why not start writing something down to learn it and really take that to heart?